Next item on the agenda, item 21, proposed regulations for tile fishing grouper to establish recreation and commercial possession limits.
Commission, we do have another one of these proactive actions. We do have a now growing directed recreational fishery on tile fishing grouper off Virginia's coast. We're dealing with a complex of fish that are slow growing, slow maturing, and long lived when these fish go greater than 30, 40, 50 years in age. Since March of 2006, we have seen 7 all tackle International Game Fish Association world records set off Virginia coast for blue line tile fish, the current record being 19 pounds, 14 ounces, which is also the current state record. 2 all tackle IGFA world records for snowy grouper, currently being at 37 pounds, 9 ounces. And notable catches of Warsaw grouper and wreckfish. This is just a few pictures of what some of these fish look like. One on the left is a snowy grouper. And then at top here is a blue line. Down here is a wreckfish. You'll notice, especially with the snowy protrusion out from the mouth, when a lot of these fish come up, due to barotrauma, due to expansion of the air bladder, they suffer mortality either immediately or if you were to release them, anywhere between 80 and 90% if you let them go back down. So this is not a fish that you catch and release. There are harvest restrictions along the South Atlantic coast in response to stock declines that have been seen from North Carolina all the way to Florida. These include commercial regulations that have been in effect since 1998 or before, limited entry fishery, a 2-for-1 policy for anyone who wants to get in. They have to buy 2 licenses to get one. They have very species-specific limits and quotas for that commercial fishery. There are recreational regulations in the South Atlantic. Again, this is North Carolina to Florida. Are very strict. 5 groupers per person, including blue line tilefish, sand tiles, many other grouper species, including 2 fish that may either be a gag or a black grouper, 1 of each, including limits of 1 fish per person and to include a snowy grouper, a speckled hind, or a Warsaw grouper as part of the total aggregate. And they do not allow harvest of Goliath, Nassau, or wreckfish. Ironically, as I said, if you bring them up, they're probably going to die anyway. So if somebody's unlucky enough to catch one of these, they're going to be throwing them back. Notable species. The crux of 2 of these, what really got this going. Blue line tilefish. They were considered for a stock assessment in 2004, what's called CDAR, the Southeast Data Assessment Review Workshops. We have limited life history and catch data on blue line tilefish. The biological data does indicate a downward shift in link frequencies of male and female blue line tiles from the early 1980s until the late 1990s. For snowy grouper, they are currently considered overfished, and overfishing is occurring. They are protogenous hermaphrodites, not a word you hear every day in Virginia. This means they start out as females and they switch to males. They have a sex ratio that in the early 1980s, about 20 to 23% of the population were males. Since the mid-1990s, 1% of the population is now seen as males. Headboats, back in the 1960s, they averaged about a 26-inch fish. Up through 2002, they're averaging a 12-inch fish. These are more commonly now recalled to as snowflakes because they are immature snowies. Warsaw grouper, species of concern by Federal Register, 1 per vessel per trip in the South Atlantic. Their distribution to Western Atlantic may be naturally rare. However, declining population trends have been apparent in heavily fished areas of Western Atlantic, the East Coast. Wreckfish, no recreational harvest is allowed south of Virginia. Individual transfer quotas, ITQs, are in place for this fishery. No one other than shareholders or their designees may possess a wreckfish, and they have a spawning season closure. The ITQ put in effect for wreckfish was actually a proactive measure from South Atlantic, one of the few that they have done on this fishery. Not much is known on the population status overall, but they are not considered overfished at this time due to that proactive measure. The Virginia Saltwater Tournament, it has been a long day, October 2006, added blue line tilefish at a 10-pound minimum to the list of species eligible for citation. They added blue lines, goldens, and snowy groupers also to the list for state record designation. As of this Sunday, for the 2007 season, we've had 67 citations awarded for blue lines, and we have a blue line state record, the same as the IGFA, as I mentioned, at 19 pounds, 14 ounces, which is this beauty right here. And people are actively seeking to break it. FMAC, since November of 2006, and at the meetings in January, February, and March, staff has been providing background information on this fishery and updates to the committee on tilefish and grouper off of Virginia. They are part of your packet of attachments 1, 2, 3, and 6. In February of 07, staff had Dr. Eric Williams from the National Marine Fisheries Service's Beaufort Lab, the center that handles the majority of the assessments for this species for the South Atlantic and all the aging, to discuss the susceptibility for overexploitation for snowy grouper. That was attachment 4. In particular, he brought up Adrian's Mark. It's a site off of Onslow Bay in North Carolina that in the mid-1980s was discovered to have a large population of snowies. Within 1 year, 80% of those snowies were gone. The site has yet to recover from that fishery in the 1980s. Roy Pemberton from VIMS also came to discuss tilefish. He talked about the life history of blue line tilefish with the committee. That is attachment 5. And he also discussed the decline of golden tilefish in the mid-Atlantic for comparison. Very briefly, these are a couple slides from both their presentations. This one is for snowy grouper from Dr. Williams, showing the increase in exploitation from the 1960s into the early 2000 period, and the decline in the total mature biomass for snowy groupers in the South Atlantic. Again, these are considered overfished and overfishing occurring. Same thing, they looked at what gear was being used. They looked at the headboats and looked at commercial bandit rigs. And they have seen that in the more recent period for headboat, the majority of what they are catching are immature fish now, whereas before it wasn't. And commercial bandit rigs is also seeing a high percentage of immature fish in their catch. For blue line tilefish, this is data from off the Carolinas. The dark bars here represent the length frequencies for the early 1980s, from 82 to 87, for both females in the top left and males in the lower right. You can see they were catching a much larger size blue line. The splash bars are from 96 to 99. The length frequencies have shifted to the left. They are now catching much smaller blue line tilefish consistently. Same thing goes when you look at it from the age standpoint. They're catching much older fish in the 80s. Blue lines up past 40 years of age. Now they're seeing a shift back where they're not seeing too many above 30 or even above 20. And they're seeing mostly in the range below 10-year-olds. Precedent for recommendations, and some of these have kind of already come up. South Atlantic's jurisdictional boundaries have already been extended to include Virginia waters for red drum, Spanish mackerel, and king mackerel. For cobia, we did adopt more restrictive measures to reduce from 2 to 1 for the recreational fishery. For spade fish, the South Atlantic Council did have their aggregate regulation. Virginia went to a 6-fish and then a 4-fish limit. For sheep's head, we've already discussed. Staff's recommendation is, again, common word today, is proactive, not reactive management. One thing we've learned from the South Atlantic Council in talking with staff and looking at the history is they're always chasing after their fishery down there on this whole complex of 60-some different species, which they manage as a complex. Every time they saw a shift or a drop in catch per unit effort, they throw in another management measure. But what they found was they're always chasing it. They never got ahead of it, except on very few, something like wreckfish. We want precautionary management protection for this fishery. We're seeing it as a trophy fishery, which is really what's brought this thing on. Promote conservation, and provide time for collections of landings data, life history data, and development for population dynamics data. The National Marine Fisheries Service Lab in Beaufort has offered us their services to work up any fish we provide them, to give the aging data, do an adult work, anything. They are looking for this information also because they have a hard time getting it. So they've already promised cooperation with BMRC on this. And we actually have note, we have a freezer full of blue lines that were donated to us by Ken Neal. Actually, were donated to us by two members of staff, and Wreckfish donated to us by Ken Neal and Bob Manis to be sent down already. So we already have fishermen trying to help us out. FMAC made a recommendation in March of a recreational limit for tilefish of 12 per person per day and for a grouper limit of 3 per person per day, a commercial limit of 300 pounds per person per day, grouper 175 pounds per person per day, no more than 2 licensed fishermen harvesting per vessel per day, which in effect, if 2 were harvesting together, would give you 600 pounds per day of tilefish, 350 pounds per day possibly of grouper. Staff's recommendation. Staff recommended 10 per person per day. Staff came to this recommendation based on what at the time was the best known reported recreational catch of 144 tilefish on a trip with 14 anglers. So it seemed like that matched the best of what we knew at the time. 1 per person per day for grouper. When I went over that one with the South Atlantic before, you saw this different array of aggregates being thrown out. So many of this, 2 of that, 1 of this, none of some. And if you happen to be unlucky to catch that one, it's going overboard. We just went across the slate and said, 1 grouper per day. If they each angler gets one, and they happen to even get a Goliath, fine, let's not throw it back and have it be wasted. Hopefully they'll bring it in, get the fillets, and donate it to the staff. The carcass, not the fillet. Though if they have extra, there's always the possibility of a fish fry. That's right. I don't speak for Lewis, let me say. Commercially, 300 pounds per vessel per day, 175 pounds per vessel per day. Our recommendation is based on discussions with those who do go out there and would possibly fish. This is considered bycatch. They don't target them specifically. And we weren't looking at introducing it specifically. Allow the black sea bass fishermen to go out there to still get their bycatch catch, but not put this forward as a directed fishery, not introduce it to that. People are now finding out about this. I can tell you the South Atlantic Council found out about this well after we started talking about it, based on web reports. And they're under a lot of tight restrictions down there. So we're not looking at cutting back to their limits on our commercial guys. Allow them to still bring them in, but keep it a bycatch fishery. That's the key. What we have on the bottom is what would be considered a tilefish and what would be considered a grouper. If you remember on shark regulations, we have something very similar there. The large coastal, the small coastal pelagics, the prohibited groups. So it's a similar regulation style as you saw with the shark regulation. Public hearing. I've already given you the blue sheets from before in Sheepshead. This has been advertised. Harry Dorenty, Attachment 7, supports staff's commercial recommendation for tilefish and grouper, but still considers the recreational possession limit as too lenient, feels they should be either 5-1, 5 tilefish, 1 grouper, or even 3-1 as preferable. The Peninsula Saltwater Sportsmen's Association, with their 300-plus members, have said they will support staff's recommendation for recreational and commercial fisheries. BIM's comments, which I've been asked to read into the record here, these are from Dr. John Olney, Professor and Chairman of the Department of Fisheries Science. 3 items. Number 1, the Virginia populations of the species of concern are not a management unit separate from more southerly populations, and it is unrealistic to argue that there is no connectivity between these continuous distributions of fishes. It is scientifically sound to rely on the South Atlantic assessments of the stocks and any other sources of scientific information in the development of emergency recreational and commercial possession limits for this emergent fishery. On item 2, there is ample scientific evidence that uncontrolled harvest of these species can lead to local depletions. In order to protect and conserve the newly created trophy fishery for blue line tilefish and snowy grouper in Virginia, possession limits are necessary to protect against excessive removals. And 3, monitoring of this fishery and some fishery independent data are needed to assess trends in catch rates, age, size demographics, and local abundance. CCA of Virginia, Tom Powers called. He said that they do support staff's recommendation, did not submit a written letter, but did voice it. Tom is here. He can speak for himself. David Wright called, noting that he, Skip Feller, and Joe Del Campo support staff's recommendation that they utilize tilefish grouper fishing as a fallback when they're out tuna fishing and have a low catch. Now, I will point out to the last three pages of the blue sheet I handed you. The very first of the three shows a former world record tile fish holder from last year. On that same trip on the second of the last three pages, you see her holding a white marlin. That was on the same trip. On the very last page is a different trip where we have somebody who has caught blue line tile fish in the same time as a tuna fishing trip. And this goes back to what David has relayed to staff. But this is a fishery that not only does it have its directed component, this is a fallback fishery for a lot of the charter boats out there. We have additional comments in the sheets. Attachments 8 through 15 include the additional written comments that were provided to FMAC from the South Atlantic Council, from the CCA of Virginia, and from various fishermen. And attachment 16 included articles, photos, and fishing reports that had been submitted to the staff. New regulation 4 VAC 20-1120-10 pertaining to tile fishing groupers would establish recreational commercial limitations in the harvests and landings of tile fishing groupers in Virginia. Section 20, page 1 through 3, defines the specific species considered groupers or tile fish. Sections 30, page 3 and 4, contains recreational limits. Section 40, page 4, contains commercial limitations. Staff recommends adoption of Regulation 4 VAC 20-1120-10 to establish a recreational possession limit of 10 fish per person per day for tile fish, 1 fish per person per day for grouper, and a commercial possession limit of 300 pounds per vessel per day for tile fish, 175 pounds per vessel per day for grouper, with no transfers at sea allowed. With that, sir, it is a public hearing.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Grist? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple. Based on Dr. Olney's comments, and I think elsewhere in here, we saw that this is viewed as a unit stock. That is, the tile fish and the grouper complexes, both off Virginia, are viewed as a unit stock to the south. If that's the case, I would think that makes an argument for managing the resource consistent with the South Atlantic plan. However, it does seem that we have a population that is localized in that it tends to be structure specific. So yep. The fish are, by virtue of being on structure, are also vulnerable to local exploitation. But I guess in the long run, if the South Atlantic Council is going to move forward with incorporating Virginia in its management plan, which it sounds like it would like to do, that might take a couple of years to do. If that's coming down the road, is it staff's desire to have the flexibility to negotiate for a different outcome than is currently in the South Atlantic plan at that level in the future?
That is our intention. Greg Wall, Deputy Director of South Atlantic Council, has gone forward at the Mid-Atlantic Council and spoken on this. The process of getting the South Atlantic complex regulations expanded into Virginia will take 2 to 3 years by the time they get through all the hoops they have to jump through in the Federal Register and everything. We look at this as, one, the whole thing about being proactive and conservative, but also this gives us some negotiating power. While they're going through their issues, we're going to try and gain data from the staff level and provide it to find out more about what's off Virginia exactly, age structure, composition, everything. It also is the negotiating power. We're going ahead and saying, hey, we went ahead and did something proactive right here. So maybe we might stymie the chance of them coming in and saying 5 fish aggregate for everybody. Maybe they leave Virginia out of their limited entry and allow Virginia to be on its own. Hard to say where this is going to fall out, but it is definitely a good precautionary move to get ahead of the curve on them.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Joe.
Sir.
This is a public hearing. As I've seen on the board, a number of individuals that are here have voiced their recommendations. If you care to revoice them, that's fine. If not, we know what you've said. It's totally up to you. Matter is open to the public hearing. Mr. Dorante?
Thank you. Harry Dornty from Pocosin, and I'll just sort of skim over this thing. Basically, I have seen a lot of fisheries devastated by overfishing, and I tried to get the state to do something in sea bass in 1991, and it ended up, I think, 1997 before the Mid-Atlantic Council did anything about it. And last fall, I sent a note to Jack Travelstead telling him about this fishery, how it started offshore, and told him that I felt that he better get involved in it. Well, he pointed to, I guess he assigned the duties to Joe Grist. And in my opinion, Joe's done an outstanding job making this presentation, with one exception. He has not reemphasized the scientific data here today. He's got a scientist in the audience here that can tell you all about this slow-growing, late-maturing, non-migrating fish. And that's the emphasis of the thing. These fish don't move. They go out, they move a little bit, but they burrow. And when they got a burrow, that's their home. That's where they're going to stay until you catch them. This, as Joe indicated, and David Wright admitted, that this fishery is a spin-off of other fisheries. That's give them a chance to put something in the box when they don't do anything. Now, if we have either an extremely good or an extremely poor tuna fishing season this year, these fish will be wiped out if you don't do something. Because every charter boat now, if he catches his limit of tuna, he wants to go deep dropping. If he doesn't catch it, and that's how they found this fishery. They were trolling around, and the guy kept running over. Don White was the captain, kept running over marks, and finally he says to his customers, "Let's drop down and see what these marks are." And sure enough, there was a pile of tilefish out there. Well, several of us commercial guys have known that they were out there for probably 20 years. A question of economics. You can't make any money doing it, or couldn't make any money then, not with sea bass at the price they were. Now, on the second page that I just handed you, in the second paragraph, that's what you got to think about. Black sea bass fishing this year commercially is horrible, terrible. And so now a couple commercial boats went out there Sunday and worked the tilefish over. And I'm sure that there's probably somebody out there doing it today. And it's going to happen every day until the stock is wiped out. And they're going to be able to do it. There's no question about it. The two things, and then I'll shut up. The first is on my third from the last paragraph. I've got a feeling that there's some big grouper out there. That's the only reservation I have about a limit on grouper for commercial, and I feel that you should give us the chance to allow us to land one big grouper. A grouper over 50 pounds, a grouper over 42 inches. Some type of wording to give us a chance when we get that one big fish, and somebody's going to get him, and I'm sure it's the devil going to try when it's right. And I would like to get one, but I know this grouper out there probably pushing 400 pounds. But if we adopt a realistic trip limit of 150 or 175 pounds, whatever, commercial, then give us a chance to have something like it, not to include one fish over 50 pounds or not to include one fish over 42 inches, something of that nature. The only other thing I have is that staff is certainly too lenient in their recommendation of 10 tilefish. These fish are averaging 6 to 8 pounds. 5 fish is plenty. And you hear the recreational people say, we need something to justify our run of 50 or 60 miles. Well, I don't see why they need something to justify it. The thing is, it's recreational fishing. They're not substance fishing. So 5 fish, recreational, 1 grouper, and 300-pound tilefish and 150 or 175 pounds of grouper commercially, and 1 big grouper commercially. I think that's realistic. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris?
Commission, thank you again. I did not provide written comments. Today was the only time I elected to give you comments on this. I just wanted to say that I would wholeheartedly endorse and request that you look at the committee's suggestion with the which were mere staffs, but would allow the two license on the commercial of 300 pounds per licensee. I also real quick would like to say that I'd like to acknowledge that drawing comparisons to a lot of the South Atlantic, you know, Virginia's kind of caught in the middle. You know, 1 week we're falling under the Mid-Atlantic, 1 week Northeast, within South Atlantic. Virginia's unique in that we get northernmost migratory tropicals. We get southernmost on a lot of cold water species. So we get kind of caught in the middle. I do think that Commissioner Bowden said it best, or Commissioner Member Bowden, excuse me, said it best on the last issue, and that is going from no management plan to something of this nature is a very good start, and that we are also looking to mirror South Atlantic and their request and these parameters, and that please take that into consideration when you look at this. We're not going from something that is nothing or wide open to something that would allow a targeted fishery. What we're doing is going from something that's totally nothing and wide open to something that's very much more restrictive in staff's recommendation and, excuse me, the FinFish Management Committee's recommendation. So I'd ask that you endorse that. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Mr. Powers.
I'll be quick. CCA's recommendation or request was based on the concept that they didn't want to see a development of a directed commercial fishery. That was one of their primary concerns. One of the things on the dynamics from the FMAC meeting to make sure you understand, and at that meeting, three of the vote on this measure was 5-4, and three of the votes that were against it were against it because there was a substitute motion that increased the commercial harvest from staff's recommendation to twice staff's recommendation. The concern was that is a sufficient quantity to make it a directed commercial fishery. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Further comments? Yes, sir. Come on up. How are you, Mr. Dean?
I'm fine, yourself.
Good, thank you.
Mr. Bowman, gentlemen. I don't know if you're aware, I'm now the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council representative for Virginia for recreational fishermen. And I just wanted to mention that this has come before us on the Mid-Atlantic Council. I think it sets a great standard for Virginia, this and the Sheep's Head as well, that we are being proactive. And we're not seeing that a lot on the council. I think it says great things about Virginia entirely. And I think this will help us in anything that we want to try to accomplish in the future. We've set the standard now that others have to agree to. I was the lone dissenting recreational fisherman that voted on the higher commercial limit, and I now think that was a bit of a mistake because it does allow 500 pounds would allow a directed fishery, I believe, in this situation. It would make it worthwhile. The thing we wanted to accomplish was that if they're out there fishing for black sea bass, excuse me, or whatever, and they catch these fish, We don't want to have to throw them back because they'll die. They come up from 600-700 feet of depth. We don't want to penalize any commercial fishermen. I don't anyway. That's why I sided with them. But I do think that 500 pounds is too much. I think staff's recommendation is a little better to keep it from being a directed fishery. There is an increase in pressure. I've talked to a lot of charter captains that now want to try this when they're out tuna fishing. If you go through Saltwater Sportsman, you will see now there are ads from reel manufacturers that talk about deep drop reels, electric reels that will let you go after these fish. And this, as well as the sheep's head, throughout all of our FMAC meetings, which I also serve on, we had people come to us from the southern districts and say, we used to have a fishery like you've got. We blew it. We want you to do what we should have done a long time ago, put in some regulations. We're not choking anybody to death. We may not be as strict as they are, but we're not in the same position that they're in yet either. So I think it's good for the state. I think it's good for the resource. It says a lot about us. It certainly makes it easier for me to do my job in the future representing Virginia. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Further comments, Mr. Nixon?
I don't usually get involved in these discussions. I'm on FMAC. The last couple of meetings, Chris Lutchford has sat in for me. But a little anecdotal information. We have a group of headboats that have come down to Lynn Haven every winter for the last 3 or 4 years from Maryland for primarily striped bass headboat fishing trips. They're not large headboats. They're large bay-style boats. One fellow has decided he's going to stay this year, and the reason he's staying is just to participate in this fishery. He's currently running ads on the radio right now, and he carries, 8, 10, 12 people. And he's a pretty good fisherman. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the orange baskets that we use for handling shellfish and crabs and whatnot, but he always has 2 or 3 stacks of those orange baskets on the stern of the boat that his customers use for handling their fish. So I think that one boat alone could probably do quite a bit of damage to this very fragile fishery on a 10-person fish per day limit.
Thank you, Pete. Further comment? If not, the matter is before the commission for discussion. Mr. Okay. Fox.
We have no data. We don't know exactly what we're doing, but we're trying to be proactive and put something forward. And in the face of that, I just get the feeling that 10 tilefish is a little high. Mr. Dante said 5. I'm not sure that 5 might not be a little low. I can't come up with a number, but if you want, I'll say 7.
Well, it's between 5 and 10. That can't be 7.5. That's right.
Draw a line there.
Chopping fish.
Do you want to finish up your motion then with what you?
I'll make it a motion.
Okay. Yeah.
I move that we accept staff's recommendation, with the exception of the possession limit of 7 tilefish per person per day. For the recreational limit, with everything else staying the same.
So second to the motion. Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? Mr. Bowden.
Being involved with this seems like for 8 or 10 years.
Today?
Oh, we did. If not counting the rest of our work. I really have no problem with it. I had no set ideas on what we should do. We knew we needed to do something. We needed to be proactive. By Mr. Fox ratcheting down the recreational side, I don't think I'd have a very good argument to not accepting staff recommendation on this, even though I do still feel that you should be allowed to have 2 people on the boat. But in the mood of compromise and lack of food and sleep.
Still alive. Well, we know where to get him.
I mean, I think this too should be considered an interim measure. We may be put underneath South Atlantic management, and if not, we'll soon know. Harry's one place said that one place was already fished out now. That was a hot spot. So if we don't do something very quick, we're going to be in the same shape we are in the South Atlantic.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up, I think one of the key issues we need to look forward to from a management standpoint is our interaction with the South Atlantic Council, and I think it's critical that we use this opportunity to build credibility on the issue. And I think if we were to adopt a 12 fish per limit, daily limit, then we're 20% above the highest reported per capita landing on the best day a charter boat had. That's not sufficiently precautionary.
Not anymore, by no means.
Well, okay, but if you go back through the staff write-up, somebody may have had a better day since, but that reflected at the time, a real highline trip. So, I think we need to be sufficiently precautionary, and I support the motion.
Further discussion.
381 fish.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Gross.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Mr. Travelstead.
Mr. Beckwith was provided last week with a copy of the staff evaluation on his proposal to place a pound net at the mouth of Metchetank Creek on the eastern shore. He contacted us yesterday and asked that his application be withdrawn. So that's no longer necessary for you to consider that. Additionally, he asked to move or to place that pound net on the south side of Parker's Island, which is still in the area, but on the outside of Parker's Island, rather than in the thoroughfare that is a high traffic area. He wants to place it in a location where previously another pound netter had placed a net. And in doing so, he's asking